So, welcome to tonight's shiur, which is supposed to be an overview of the halachas of Rosh Hashanah, as much as we can fit it in within the course of just under an hour. So we'll try to the best of my ability, Be'ezer Hashem, and this obviously doesn't replace learning the halachas each on his own, and additionally it doesn't replace, obviously, as was mentioned before, the importance of learning Al-Pichsidus. By way of introduction, I'll just mention that this year is a very unique year, a very unusual year. The kviyas of this coming year, we only had in the last 81 years, we had it in Tashin Yud, the year when the Friedrich Rebbe was nostalgic and the Rebbe took over the Nesius. It was exactly the same calendrical cycle as this year. We had it once again in Tashin Lamed Zayin and most recently in Tashin Samach Aleph. This is a very unusual year. Each year has a special simen. What's this particular simon of the year? The simon of this year is Zayin Ches Aleph, which means Zayin means that Rosh Hashanah falls out on Zayin, Yom Zayin B'Shavuot falls out on Shabbos. Ches, that means that the Rosh Chodesh Nissen, Ches means that the months Cheshvan and Kislev, which are different than every other month of the year, because every month of the year we have a simon, we know which months are Moly, are 30 days, which months are 29. The exception to the rule is Cheshvan and Kislev, which changes from one year to another year. And this year is Ches, is a year where it's a Chaseira. They're both Cheshvan and Kislev are 29 days, which makes the total number, because it's not a leap year as well, makes the total number of days that we have in this year 353 days. And that's relevant for Keren Hashanah. There's a minig that we give tzedakah, we're supposed to give tzedakah every single day. And the Rebbe asks specifically to donate to a fund called Keren Hashanah, the equivalent of the amount of days of the year that this fund will distribute on your behalf in case you forget one particular day to give tzedakah. So this is a year which was a Shin Nun Gimel year. The word Shana, which means a year, is a complete year. That's 355. A complete, regular, non-leap year. The maximum it could be is 355 days. This year is 353. And back to our simon, Zayin Ches Aleph. The Aleph represents Rosh Chodesh Nissen. It's just easier to remember. Once you know the Shana's on Shabbos and you know that Cheshvan and Kislev, how many days they are, you can work out the rest of the year. But just to make life simpler, we give us a simon for Rosh Chodesh, and once you know whether it's a regular year or a leap year. Rosh Chodesh Nissen is on a Sunday, which helps us work out for the rest of the year. And this, like we said, is a very unusual year, which we hardly have. This year allows Asar B'Tevis to be on a Friday. That does happen occasionally, but this year has it as well. The second thing is that Asar B'Tevis, besides Asar B'Tevis, Purim, this year in Yerushalayim and all cities that are walled, is a Purim Mishulash, which means it's a three-day Yom Tov. We keep Purim on Friday, and they have Purim on Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday, because Shushan Purim is their Purim, so some things they can't do on Shabbos, like reading the Megillah, and if it's done on Friday, and some things are done on Sunday. And what's very unusual is Erev Pesach this year is going to be on Shabbos as well. Erev Pesach on Shabbos is not very, very common. To have all of those things together is what's unique about this year. And relevant for us right now is Rosh Hashanah is going to be on Shabbos, and Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, which we haven't had that in a long time. Last time we had Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos was Tavshin Ayin, 11 years ago, and therefore that changed a lot of things for this year. We're going to go through some of the halachas of this year, and in particular, focus on the fact that Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos. So before we get to Rosh Hashanah, we are now in the middle of Chodesh El, and Chodesh El is a lot of things that we do differently, besides the same Kapit Lachtulim every day, we say the David Hashem Ori, and we hear Shofar, but Chodesh El is a time where we prepare ourselves for the Yom Hadin for Rosh Hashanah, and it says in Peskim that it's the appropriate time to check out Tefillin Mezuzos, but it's not only Tefillin Mezuzos as such, but any bedek, anything that we find in our mitzvahs that needs improvement, Tefillin Mezuzos is just an example. Anything like that, this is a time to sit and work on fixing it and see what we can improve and make sure everything is done properly. Besides for the fact that we want to make sure everything is done properly, the very fact that we're doing checking Tefillin Mezuzos or checking our mitzvahs gives us extra special bracha from the Eibishter and allows us to have a ksiv v'chassim v'tov v'shana tov v'mesukah. And on that note, this is an appropriate time to wish all the mishtachvim of this shir. The Rebbe encouraged very much we should publicize this minig wherever we can. Both two minhagim that is brought Mate Ephraim. Mate Ephraim is the classic sefer for El Tishrei. There's a famous word that every single Indian has its posik. And for El and Tishrei, the Mate Ephraim is the posik. So the Matzah Ephraim brings two specific minhag, which the Rebbe asked to publicize the seminary as much as possible. One is checking tefillin and mezuzahs, and the second thing is in the Matzah Ephraim is the idea, the meaning of wishing each other wherever we can, ksivich sima tovah, shana tovah, mesukah. So everybody that's mishtatav in this shir b'soich achenu kol beis Yisrael, the entire class should have a real good and sweet year b'cholam esadach in every way possible. Towards the end of the month of El, he starts slichas. I don't know who's in the participants over here. I'm not checking the gallery, but there might be some of our Sephardi brethren. They've already started slichas today. Today was the first day of slichas. The Shchodesh was Thursday and Friday. There's no slichas on Thursday and Friday. Shabbos is no slichas either. But today was an early day, and it's every single day until the rest of El. It's waking up early. And this minig is brought down in many Sfarim, including in Chassidus has brought this minig. So the fact that we don't say slichas until the end of the month doesn't mean it's off for us. All it means it's off that we maybe don't have to wake up that early, but we still, it's a time to really reflect on our behavior and see what we can improve. But the actual slichas we recite in at the end of the month, a minimum of 4 days before the Shoshana. I'm going to specifically mention, focus on those things that are not that well known, or I think I'm not that well known, some things are known to some and not to others. It's very important that slichas should be said, the chazan at least is saying slichas should be saying it with the talis. The primary aspect of slichas is the yud gimel midos. It's not all the piyutim that we say in slichas. It's the fact that we're mentioning the yud gimel midos harachem Hashem Hashem keil harachem b'chanan, which Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, whenever you say that, when you get together, the chazan wraps himself on the talis, you'll bring about, you'll arouse my mercy. Those yud gimel midos harachem shine, as we know from Chassidus, in the month of El and Aseres Mitzvah, and particularly in Yom Kippur. And therefore, when we say slichas and we mention yud gimel midos harachem a number of times during slichas, that's a time where that's really the primary focus of slichas. And therefore, it's important that the shliach sibur is supposed to be wearing a talis. This makes no difference if the shliach sibur is married or a bachur, although the Chabad minig is that a bachur do not wear talisim, and we're very particular about that. Even if we have a minion of married people, it is still our minig that a bachur doesn't wear a talis, and the Rebbe writes that since the idea that chazan wearing a talis is because of kavod atzibur, the tzibur understands that this is a bachur, they'll forgive and they'll understand that's the minig bachur don't wear a talis. Slichas is an exception to the rule. The primary aspect of slichas is yud gimel midos harachem, which is said with a talis. And the place can talk about what you do if you say slichas at night, you don't make a bracha on a talis, but that's another discussion today's day and age, except for the first night slichas. Most of the slichas we say is already day. It's important to understand the meaning of what we say during slichas. That's the purpose is to ask Hashem for a slicha mechili kapara, not just to say a bunch of words. In fact, slichas is really like davening. The setup of slichas, ashrei, Kaddish, Yigimin Shmanesre, Kaddish in the end, it's like a Shmanesre, the tefillah that we say. You have Yigimin Sarachim, and the very last Kaddish, which is something very unusual. It's not a tefillah, like Shachas Musaf Mincha, and we still have a Kaddish to Skabal at the very, very end. So it's like a Shmanesre, and like a full tefillah, and it's important that we understand what we're saying. There are Baruch Hashem slichas in translation. You don't have to necessarily say it in English. You can actually have the slichas which have on the side of translation. There were a place where they had the minig that the noshim, the women and children, would say the slichas in the local language. I don't know if that's our meaning necessarily, but it's important to understand what we're saying is slichas. Now, we say slichas, the first night slichas, our meaning is we say it right after midnight. The Rebbe asked we shouldn't do it exactly at midnight. The Rebbe said we should wait a couple of minutes. Interesting, people don't know that. In 770, always the minig of slichas is 1 o'clock. And it wasn't because we decided to make it, it's a round number, make it 1 o'clock. The Rebbe asked specifically to move it away from chatzos a couple of minutes, because before slichas we should prepare with Torah, Tful, and Tzedakah. In order to allow that preparation, so therefore we shouldn't start mamash by chatzos, we should start a few minutes later. And the Rebbe suggested, specifically in Torah, there is a maimer printed in the beginning of a slichas. It's a good idea to learn that maimer. That's a recommendation that the Rebbe made. Back to slichas. So the first night we say slichas right after chatzos, and the other days we say it in the morning. The Shulchan Aruch says, and the Poskim says, that the time for slichas is before Alois Hashachar, before the break of dawn, because that's an Eis Ratzon. Because the Eibushter, it says the Malach is the Eibushter's shot is flying, swimming in his 18,000 Olamos. During these times, I don't understand what these things mean, but it's a very special time of an Eis Ratzon L'mayla. Those who wake up early in the morning maybe understand what that means. That it's Esrat Salamayla. It's actually indeed a very, very, when people wake up real, they'll tell you it really, it's a Leren Sechander, it's a Davin Sechander, everything goes better. And the first night's legs, however, we don't do before Leis HaShachan. The reason is because we want to make it as close as possible to Matzah Shabbos. In fact, the very first night's lichus is called Moitzoei Menucha. Matzah Shabbos is a good sim, and that's why we start on a Sunday always. So we should have the sim of Matzah Shabbos. So as close as possible to Matzah Shabbos, we can't do it before midnight because we don't say Vidu Yen Yud Gimel Midris before Chatzoi Sa Matzah Shabbos because we still have the Kedusha of Shabbos. So we say it as close as possible right after midnight, or like we said, a couple of minutes late after one. Also, because the first lichus has in it special reference to the fact that we're saying lichus at night. So if we want to say, make sure that it's mamish mamish night, and we do it, like I said, right after midnight. The other slichas, the idea is to say before Leis HaShachar, but the meaning in the later years was that people don't do it before Alois. People, Alois is quite early, 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock. But Paiskim talk about the fact that even though it's not mamish before Alois, as long as it's still called Hashmeiras HaBoker, you're doing it earlier than what you normally do, you're waking up extra early, that's already something special for our generation. We have to understand that our generation, we have electricity, and therefore we go to sleep later than they used to go to sleep when it became night. Now we go to sleep a bit later, and therefore we don't wake up a bit later too. Everything changed around. Now, Molo Gedoyah's system is totally different. They daven Ma'ariv very, very early, and the Pesachim had to justify why they daven Ma'ariv early, because it was very hard for them to find a minyan late at night when people were scared to go in the streets. So everything has changed around. But nonetheless, we shouldn't do it too late in the day. In the Munkat Shiz Minhagim, it says that he made sure that in his shul, they shouldn't say slichas. He made a rule past 7 o'clock in the morning, there's no slichas. They were late minyanim in Munkach. I know this for a fact. I know some people that were there. There were quite a lot of late minyanim there. But slichas was not after 7. The Rebbe wrote a very, very sharp answer to one of the Hasidim. The gist of the answer is, I'll say it in English, it's not exactly word for word. You think, it was a bit with a bit of sarcasm, if you're allowed to use that expression about the Rebbe, do you think it's time now to publicize to the whole entire world that a Chabad, we say slichas close to Sabzaman Krishma? End quote, or end semi-quote. In other words, the Rebbe was disappointed with the fact that they announced Slichas late. This was the Rebbe was in Tav Shurim Ches, the Rebbe was davening for the Amud, and they announced Slichas late in the Rebbe's house, the year of when the Rebbe was keeping Avelos for the Rebbetzin, and the Rebbe was not very happy about it, and this was the one of the things the Rebbe answered, amongst others, about saying Slichas close to Sov Zman Krishma. So we don't wait till the very, very last minute. The whole idea is waking up early. We say, talking now about slichas, how we woke up early. Shachar kamti is one of the expressions in slichas. I woke up early. So it might not be Ashmeiras HaBoker mamish, but at least the general idea that it's early. Moving on from slichas, I'm moving on to Erev Rosh Hashanah. One of the things that we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah is Ataras Nadarim. Hataras Nadarim al Pidin is enough to have 3 people. You don't need more than 3 people for Hataras Nadarim. 3 people besides for the person that wants to be Matar Neder. It is our minig, not in all circles that we have this minig. It is our minig that we have 10 people for Hataras Nadarim. Some people explain the reason for the minig of having 10 people because it says in Hataras Nadarim that we're Matar Neder, Nadarim that were said b'hokets when we were awake, and Nadarim that were made b'chaloyim in a dream. And the halacha is that a neder which is made in a dream needs to have 10 people to be matar neder. The problem with that explanation is that in our siddur, the Alter Rebbe does not write the words beim bechalim. It doesn't say that we're being matar neder in the darim of a dream. So it's difficult. We still could say that it's referring to those 2, even though we don't say that. But it's a bit difficult to say that the reason why we have 10 people is because of the idea that we're being matar neder that we're made in a dream. Another explanation why 10 people, because we dafka want to have an Eidah Shlema, a complete minion of people. The Rebbe explains because we want to have the Eskalos, Atem, Nitzavim, Hayoim, Kulchem, Lefnei Hashem, Lekechem, the Eskalos of all types of Jews. When we have a minion, represents all 10 different types of Jews, like it says in the beginning of Parshas, Nitzavim, Rasheichem, Shevteichem, the list of 10 different types. And that's one of the ideas why we have 10 people. But there's a common error over here. Even in this case, where it's about having a minion of people. The minion does not include the person that's making, unlike a regular minion, the minion does not include the person that's saying that Hataras Nadarim. It's 10 people besides for him. So again, according to Halacha, 3 is enough, and some people have difficulty arranging 10 people. It's only a matter of minion. It's better to do Hataras Nadarim 3 than not doing it at all. But if you can get 10 people, then it's better to have 10 people. Relatives are included for Hataras Nadarim 2. any 10 people in the audience is okay for Hataras Nadarim. Now, it's important to understand what we're saying in Hataras Nadarim. And without understanding what we're saying in Hataras Nadarim, it has zero meaning whatsoever. Hataras Nadarim, the place command, some people think is a tchina. It's a supplication, a tchina. So, you know, women would often say tchinas when they bench lich. This is another prayer. It's not a prayer. We're actually asking for a bezin to annul our vows. And if a person doesn't understand what he's saying, the whole Hataras Nadarim doesn't work. You don't actually have to understand word for word in the Hataras Nadarim. The main idea should be piv libay shavim, that your mouth and your heart should be equal. You should want to be matanetis. As long as you read the translation in advance, you don't have to actually get one of those linear translations that make sure you understand every word for word, every single word. You read the translation in advance, you know the basic gist of what you're saying right now, then it's okay for Hataras Nadarim. There's another aspect of Hataras Nadarim. One is that we're asking the Bezin to annul our neder, and then we're doing a Mesiris Meidah, we're making an announcement about the future. An announcement about the future is we're making a declaration that all future Nadarim should be annulled as well. Now we cover all our bases. We do Hataras Nadarim, we do Mesiris Meidah, we announce about our future Nadarim, and we're even doing a Kol Nidre as well, but that doesn't necessarily absolve us from the right, from the need to do a proper Hataras Nadarim if a person is actually aware of a neder. Hataras Nadarim is not for the Nadarim that you actually know. If a person knows that he made a specific neder or a minyak tov that he did three times and he wants to annul it, do not rely on Hataras Nadarim, because it's halacha that a person is mechuyiv lefarat haneder. You're mechuyiv to tell the bezin your specific neder that you made. Hataras Nadarim doesn't have a list of Nadarim. It just has a blanket, generic lashon that we use for all Nadarim in general. But if you know of a specific neder that you know that you took upon yourself, a minik tov, either you took upon a minik to do forever, the very fact that you took on a minik forever, or you didn't even take it on forever, but you already practiced it three times and you didn't say bli neder, it already becomes binding, and therefore Hataras Nadarim is required, and you can't rely just on Hataras Nadarim, which doesn't have the pirut haneder, doesn't have the neder specified, the specific neder. Which is why it's so, so important every time we take an achlat, you'll find them in the Rebbe's letters, you'll find it all over in Svarim, you'll find it in Kutat Torah, in Halacha, that whenever you take an anu minik Torah, you always should say, spell out, specify in your mind, or verbally, b'li neder. I'm not taking sound with the force of a neder. I really want to do it, but it shouldn't be like a neder. That doesn't mean that I'm not planning on doing it. It doesn't mean it shouldn't be binding. It's binding, but not like a neder. Same with the Mesidas Meidah. Even the phrase that we use, the second section of Hataras Nadarim, that we're announcing about the future Nadarim, Shulchan Aruch also tells us we're really not supposed to rely on that. Only Mamush Latzayda Gadol under certain conditions do we rely on the Mesidas Meidah. So therefore, the Chatchila, both of these things don't work. We're doing it as an extra base to cover ourselves before the Yom HaDin, because Nadarim are one of the most severe things in Torah. We don't want to have Chas V'Shalom, that sin of Nadarim, upon us before it comes to Yom HaDin. So we want to cover ourselves and we remove whatever we can, at least, from the Inn of Nadarim. One of the big questions about Hashanah is always about the menu. Everybody likes talking about the menu. Which foods are acceptable, which foods you can't have. So, brought down a poskim that we don't use vinegar, we don't cook, even though there's a meaning that we eat fish on Rosh Hashanah, and normally, ordinarily, I guess they would cook fish in vinegar. I don't hang out in the kitchen, I don't know the recipes and the ingredients, but this is what's brought down halacha. But when it comes to the Shoshana, we don't cook our fish in vinegar, which isn't only about fish, just a general thing that we don't eat sour foods when it comes to the Shoshana. That includes pickles, sour pickles. Sour pickles are sour. The fact that it tastes good is irrelevant. What's negev here, that the sourness is not a good omen when it comes to the time of the Shoshana, when we want to have a sweet omen, a positive omen. Garlic is not included. It says clearly in Peskim, an earlier Peskim, already in the Kolbe, one of the Rishonim, it says about a minute to eat garlic on a Shoshana. Garlic is fine. Garlic is not considered sour. It might be sharp, but it's not sour. Sharp foods are not included. Chirein is included just because there's a sourness to chirein as well. It also has a sourness besides for the sharpness. And it doesn't mean you can't have vinegar in your food. It means you shouldn't have food which the vinegar taste is detected. So you can mix a bit of vinegar into a food. You can have vinegar mixed into the mayonnaise, whatever it is, as long as it doesn't have a sour, the general taste is not a sour taste. In addition to the idea of not having, some people took this in a very extreme way, and some people don't have soda on Rosh Hashanah, because they're worried about the gassy taste of the soda or seltzer or something like that. But that's, again, all these things are not the general meaning. Some people don't want to have l'chaim in Rosh Hashanah. It was a meaning not to say l'chaim in Rosh Hashanah, not because of the sourness, because of the emas hadin, because of the fear. Rosh Hashanah is not a time to sit and say l'chaim. And the Rebbe said about this meaning, about not saying l'chaim, that by the table of the Friedig Rebbe, he's not going to say l'chaim, because he doesn't want to change the meaning of his shver of his father-in-law. But by the Fabrengen, the Rebbe says, I will say. The Rebbe by the Fabrengen would say l'chaim. But by the table, with the Sudas upstairs, the Rebbe didn't want to change the meaning of the Friedig Rebbe, not to say l'chaim. There is still this Vegilu Berada, the Shana has both aspects. It's a Yom Tov, and we rejoice because it's a Yom Tov, and at the same time, it's Berada, the fear, is the trembling of the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah. And there's a lot of minhagim that we do. It says we eat and drink, but we don't overeat because we shouldn't forget that it's the spirit of the day. This is constantly in Shulchan Aruch, in Peskim, in Sefer Chassidus, Sefer Halacha. They always talk about the balance of both aspects. It has both elements. We're being judged, but we're being judged in front of our Father, so we're pretty good. We get dressed, and we put nice clothing, and we wash ourselves, and we shower ourselves, and we take haircuts. Why? Because we know we're going to win the Yom HaDin. But at the same time, it is a Yom HaDin, Al Pi Chassidus, especially the whole idea of Kabbalah Samalchus, represents the idea of Kabbalah's oil, but Kabbalah Samalchus is done with Simcha. We crown the king. So it has, again, both elements in it. So going back to what we were talking about before, L'chaim is not because of the sourness, but the issue of L'chaim is because it just doesn't fit in with the spirit of the Shoshana, but the Rebbe said that if Abraham, he did say L'chaim. In addition to that, there's a meaning that we don't eat nuts on a Shoshana. The different reasons brought in Paiskim. One of the reasons, which is more commonly known, although the Alter Rebbe does not bring this reason, is that the word egois, which means not, is be gematria chet, and we don't want to mention sin even in a gematria, chet is sin. And it's famous that one of the Pelish Rebbe said that a lot of people are scared of the gematria of chet, but they're not so scared of the chet itself, of the sin itself, they're scared of the gematria of egois. So it's important that you get a lot of shahs about this kind of nut and that kind of nut. Okay, these are all cider. What about this kind of chet and that kind of chet? That's also critical to know. But we'll talk about this too. And the second reason why not to eat nuts, and this is the reason that the Alter Rebbe brings, because nuts is marbe kicha v'niya, causes a person to cough. Mavatlam hatfila, it causes all kind of when a person has stuff coming out of his mouth, when he eats a lot of nuts. And that disturbs a person davening, disturbs others davening, and therefore we shouldn't eat nuts. Some people have this meaning only in Rosh Hashanah. Some people continue this meaning into the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Some people continue meaning into the Aseres HaMetzuah, both with the sour foods and with the nuts. And some people continue all the way till Yom Kippur, or all the way till Hashayin Rabba. And that's a question of a family minig. There's no official Chabad minig one way or another. I believe the Kama Chabad minig is, as far as I know, the Famatzi Yom Kippur onwards, for sure no problem, maybe even earlier. Some people only Erev Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and Erev Yom Kippur, they were particular about these kind of menagim. But never mind, Erev Yom Kippur has its own list of menu of foods, which according to Halacha, not only a matter of meaning, which you allowed to eat in Erev Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat Erev Yom Kippur, but we're not covering Erev Yom Kippur right now. Shkedim, almonds, are not nuts. We might consider them in the family of nuts. I have no idea. I don't know the botanical characteristics. But according to Torah, it's not considered a nut. It's not in the family of egoism. And therefore, if you look at the gematria aspect, shkedim doesn't fit in with egoism, doesn't have that gematria. It's a different food altogether. But if you're looking at the idea that it creates a person, makes a person cough, that applies to almonds too. And therefore, and that's the primary reason, the reason which Alter Rebbe brings, and therefore we don't need almonds on Rosh Hashanah also. But certainly if you're having ground almond flour, which people put that in cakes and things like that, so it's both not causing the coughing, and it's not to have, doesn't have that gematria, then for sure that wouldn't be a problem. This year, moving away from the menu, which we hopefully would have prepared on Erev Rosh Hashanah, so if I'm moving to the night of Rosh Hashanah, we mentioned that Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, and if a lot of things are different. As a general rule, it's important that we We put our finger on the machzor. We really clearly daven from a siddur in the machzor all the time. And if Aseres Metzuah, we make sure that we daven properly and we don't make mistakes. There's so many mistakes that people can make. They make sana melcha kodesh, mekela kodesh. I forget to say aneinu once I'm gedalia. And this year, especially with Shabbos, you have to keep on adding things to Shabbos. It's important not to go into mistakes because these mistakes keep on creating new sets of problems. I'll just mention an interesting story. My grandfather, Olav HaShalom, was in Munkash. be the second time we're quoting the Munkacha today. On Tzayim Gedalia, remember I said earlier there were late minyanim in Munkacha. Here's a story from a late minyan. There was a late minyan on Tzayim Gedalia, and he was there in the shul, and the Munkacha Rebbe, the Minchas Elazar, walked into shul, and my grandfather was standing right near the Minchas Elazar, and this was a Milad Chazar Sashatz. It was one of the late minyanim that was like 770 style. Late, we don't mean over here late like when you're not allowed to daven anymore. I'm talking about when you're allowed to still daven, but not an early minyan. Minchas Elazar davened way earlier, but this was a late minyan happening. He walked inside the shul in Milad Chazar Sashatz, and he screams out loud, and my grandfather was standing right next to him. He just walked right near my grandfather, who was a bachar still. And he says, Madugazukta naini? Did they say anenu? The prayer of anenu in Tzayim Gedalia, in Chazar Sashatz. And nobody knew. They didn't have cell phones those times during Chazar Sashatz, but people's minds drift off. And he started screaming, Atug noch Rosh Hashanah! A day after Rosh Hashanah. And we don't know. The day after Shoshana, this is what Chazar Sashatz looks like. And interesting, because my grandfather was standing next to him, it looked like he's screaming at my grandfather, although he had nothing to do with the story. So in order to appease him, after the fast, he called him over and he asked him to come to his house to break the fast in his house, to appease him for the fact that he screamed at the minion, which was standing next to my grandfather. And then getting back to our point over here, it's important not to make any mistakes, not to forget things. Not on the day after Hashanah. We should be following carefully the Siddur and not make sure we don't make mistakes. And some of these mistakes are really problematic because you're stuck. It's a question if you go back or you don't go back. If you go back, might be Berachal Batol. If you don't go back, maybe you weren't here to davening. And it's very, sometimes it's not so clear cut, and to resolve the question is not that easy. But we'll go through a couple of things. We don't sing Avinu Malkeinu. Chabad meaning is to sing Avinu Malkeinu before davening on Rosh Hashanah. Generally, that was the Rebbe's minig. On Shabbos, the Rebbe didn't do that because we don't say Avinu Malkeinu if we don't sing Avinu Malkeinu. In the Siddur, there's things that we're supposed to add specifically for Shabbos. And again, it's important to highlight those in advance. One of the things is that in Ma'ariv Rosh Hashanah, there's a special bracha that we always say on Shabbos, the bracha of Me'ein Sheva, which is a summary of all seven brachas, Magen Aviz Bidvarei, and we say that on Rosh Hashanah too, and this time we don't say like we say a holy or a Kela Kaddish, we say a Melech HaKaddish. When we come home from Shul, normally Friday night we say Shalom Aleichem, Esh Hashchayil, all of that. The current Chabad Minig, the reason I'm saying current Chabad Minig, because it was changes over the years, is that we say Shalom Aleichem, Esh Hashchayil, all of that, we say all of that quietly. Till actual Kiddush, we say everything quietly. I don't know about, I was asked a question about singing the Nigun Hazama B'Shvachim or Asad L'Sodasa Friday night and Shabbos day. Do we do that quietly? Do we not do that? There's nothing written about that. I would assume, as far as I know, people just don't say it at all. A lot of people never say those midas on a Friday night and Shabbos day. And in Sefer HaMahagim, it's brought down from the Rabbeim that Lav Dafki, you should be saying it all together. You have to really say it properly. It depends if you're Baal Madregi or not Baal Madregi. There's a whole discussion there about that. That there's something called that if you're only saying it because you're supposed to say it, then that's not really called said. So since Azam, the Rabbeim didn't necessarily say Azam, Meshvach, and Asar, Zadas, even on a regular Shabbos, certainly in a Shabbos like this, where even the parts that we say quietly. And the minig used to be, we don't even say those parts altogether. The original Chabad minig was not to say Shalom Aleichem, Manish, Yisrael, none of that. It was changed in Toshin Yud Zayin that we say it quietly. That's when the Rebbe made the change on the Hayom Yom. So I would assume we shouldn't say Azam, Meshvach, and altogether. Go back to Kiddush. In Kiddush, we say the Shabbos Digi Kiddush, obviously. And because on the first night of Shoshana there's a minute to eat a pomegranate, so in the Shechiyanu of Kiddush, we should have in mind to exempt, we shouldn't have to make a separate Shechiyanu on the pomegranate, it's a Shiloh Shechiyanu, if it's a Shiloh Shechiyanu, if somebody didn't have the Shechiyanu before, pomegranate before. So the Shechiyanu, which is for Kiddush, could also cover the Rimon. If you need to make a Shechiyanu on the Rimon, I'm talking now about the first, I'm up to the first night of Shoshanah, but one of the special foods that we eat is a Rimon, so we should multiply, our marriage should multiply like the seeds in a pomegranate. It's enough, even if the Rimon is on the table, or if you had a mind that you're going to have a Rimon. But if it wasn't on the table and you didn't have a mind, then you have to make a special Shechiyanu on that. Some people, Dafka, don't want to make a separate Shechiyanu on that, because they argue that Shechiyanu with Kiddush is Yom Tov. The Riman is for the Frutum. We don't want to cover two things with the same Shechianu if we don't have to. But that wasn't the Rebbe's Minig. And it's enough Rais of Pesachim that we can use the same Shechianu for both and cover the Riman with the Shechianu and Kiddush. The Kiddush, like we said, is a Shabbos Kiddush for the first night. The second night, the Kiddush is going to be different. It's a Yak Nahas Kiddush. It's a Kiddush with Havdalah. It's Be'er Pri Agafen, the Kaddish Yisrael Yom HaZikaron, Be'er Meire Ha'esh, Hamavud Be'kiddush L'Kiddush, and Shechion Yayin Kiddush Ben Havdalah Zman. But the first night is Yom HaShishi, Be'er Pri Agafen. After Kiddush, we wash, and only then we eat the apple and honey. The second night, we're going to eat a new fruit that's going to be right after Kiddush. The first night, we're going to first wash, and only after washing and eating challah do we go and have the apple and honey. And the reason is very simple. The reason for this distinction. Apple and honey is not really critical to have after Kiddush. It has nothing to do with Kiddush. Apple and honey, it's a good simen. Apple has a good simen of sweetness, and honey has a simen of sweetness. So we want to have the simen in the beginning of the meal. So first we make Kiddush. Kiddush is always supposed to be b'makom suda. So right after Kiddush, we wash for challah. And the beginning of the meal, after we eat a bit of challah, then we move on to the apple and honey. We want to do the middle of the meal not to make a break between Kiddush and the meal and the hamotzi. Also, because apple and honey might require an tilas yadayim, because it's something which is dipped in liquid, so we might as well do it after until tzedam and after hamotzi. In contrast, on the second night, we're eating a new fruit, because there's a suffix if you're supposed to make shechiyon on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. There's a machlokes rishonim. If the second night of Rosh Hashanah is the same as every yantiv will make another shechiyonu both nights. Both nights of Pesach, both nights of Sukkot, both nights of Shavuos, because it's a suffix which day is really yantiv. Rosh Hashanah, where it's considered one long day, Yom HaRichter, we're not going to go into the whole discussion right now, and therefore there's a question whether you should make a shechiyonu, which or we could be happy with the shechiyonu we made the first night, because it's a machloikus. So in order to cover the shaila, the woman who bench licht, and the men who make Kiddush, and the Baal Tekeh who blow Shofar, all make sure they have either a new garment or new fruit to cover the Shechiyanu. So women bench licht close as possible. Either they get themselves a new garment, and therefore they can make Shechiyanu the second night by licht benching, and it'll cover the new garment that they got for the Shoshana, and they wear it the second night. Alternatively, they make it right close to Kiddush, and then they'll have the new fruit right after Kiddush. And the Baal Tekeah gets a new garment that he has by Tekeah. This year, the Baal Tekeah is exempt from having a new garment for Tekeah because this year there's no Tekeah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So we didn't have the Shechiyanu on Tekeah the first day, so you could directly make a Shechiyanu on the second day for Tekeah Shofar. So let's go back now to the new fruit. So the new fruit that we're going to be having on the second night, that is part of Kiddush. We set a Shechiyanu in Kiddush. And we want to make sure that the Shechiyanu isn't only for the Amdiv in case it doesn't need a Shechiyanu. We want to also have a new fruit. So we want to have the new fruit right after Kiddush, before the meal. So that's why the second night, the minig is different. The first night, the apple and honey is eaten in the beginning of the meal, not to break between Kiddush and the meal. The second night, that we're eating a new fruit, that has a side of sweetness. We're eating a new fruit for Shechiyanu, which Shechiyanu is in Kiddush, we do it right after Kiddush. And it is our meaning to eat a full shear of fruit. Sometimes those new fruits don't particularly taste very, very pleasant. So you don't have to have a kazayis of the new fruit. You could eat a tiny bit of the new fruit, which you made Shechiyanu, and add a kazayis to some other fruits. The Chalal, the Rebbe Rishab, had a meaning that it was mahadr on the second night to eat a lot of fruit. Not only Shechiyanu fruits, even fruits which don't qualify for Shechiyanu, fruits that he has eaten before, just to eat more fruit. So you can eat other fruits to be mashal to the shir. We eat a full shir, then we make a bracha achreina al on the fruit, whether bird of fashas or Allah eats, depending if it's a fruit from the Shivas Aminim or not from the Shivas Aminim. But we don't make Allah Geffen on the wine, and that we allow the benching that we'll have later will cover the wine, because the wine is part of the meal, it's connected as Kiddush for the meal, and therefore that's covered with benching. So back to the that's the difference between the apple and honey and the new fruit. But I'm going to move back to the apple and honey. Some people have trouble with having honey. Either they're allergic to honey, or they just don't like honey, whatever it is, and they can't force themselves. So there are people that have the meaning to have sugar instead. Interesting, there's a Sephardi meaning to actually have a cooked apple, cooked in sugar, instead of dipping an apple in honey. And it's okay to take the apple and dip it into sugar if you can't dip it into honey. It's also something that's brought down the posting. It's better than, definitely better than nothing. and it has a chshivas. Very interesting. I don't know why, but there was a big, heavy debate over the years by the Rabbeim if the dessert on the first night of Rosh Hashanah is covered by the bracha on the apple and honey. You make eitz in the beginning of the meal, and you're going to be having dessert, kompot, in the end of the meal. A dessert night is often eitz. I don't know why it was so critical to have kompot. So why to have dessert all together? Why the dessert had to be kompot? But whatever reason that was, and it was always a debate, do you actually include, make a new bracha on the kompot, or you already made a bracha on eitz? And the final decision is, after the back and forth, is that we actually, the bracha eitz that we make on the apple, we have in mind it should cover not only the apple, it covers the rimay that we eat later, and it covers the dessert that we're going to be having at the end of the meal. The Rebbe would cut a tiny piece of the apple and leave it for the end of the meal, and eat it later together with the kompot. That's sort of like an extension of that, and not make a special eitz on that. The second night, we have a whole different system. Like we said, we have a new fruit. What qualifies as a new fruit? A new fruit means any seasonal fruit which grows either once a year or twice a year. It's a fruit that has a season. It doesn't grow a whole year. And because it's a seasonal fruit, you have it sometimes, sometimes you don't have the fruit that you have available in the summer. And they're summer fruits. And they're not really regularly available. They're seasonal fruits. And you haven't had it yet in this season, then you can make an Eshechiyano. Even though nowadays a lot of fruits are very, very common, they're still not available, as rarely available, and they're not as fresh. Like we know that in the stores you can't find normally plums and peaches in the winter the way you can find them in the summer. So any fruit which is a seasonal fruit which grows by the season and you haven't had it yet in the season, you can make an Eshechiyano. If you don't have a Eshechiyano fruit, you still make Eshechiyano. Although we said earlier that the reason we say Eshechiyano is because of a suffix. The reason we have a new fruit because of a suffix, you can make Eshechiyano the second night. But if you don't have a new fruit, the same with a Baltakea. Not this year, but in general, a Baltakeya doesn't have a new garment. A Baltakeya will make Shechiyano without a new garment. When we go with Tzayim, and we, on the second day of Shoshana, we'll make with them a Shechiyano, regardless of whether they have a, on this, if you have a new garment, you don't have a new garment. So likewise, when it comes to the new fruit, back to Kiddush or Lichbenshin, if you have a new fruit, you have a new garment, you don't have a new garment, we include the Shechiyanu in the Kiddush regardless. The minig is, although it's not really necessary, all those who heard Kiddush don't have to eat the new fruit. They heard the Shechiyanu, they're covered. They said, answer Amen for Shechiyanu. The person who made the Shechiyanu, who wants to be covered, he also takes the new fruit. Everybody else doesn't have to have a new fruit, but the meaning is everybody takes a new fruit. And the meaning is they make their own bracha, and this is part of the siman tov for the new year. They're eating a new fruit, they're making a bracha on it, so much so that the Eish Lavrom, not the Pnim Gadol, not the Eish Lavrom, the Patrasha Rav, Talmud of the Baditcher, says that it's better not to be yotze the Shechiyano and the fruit from the person making Kiddush, and make your own Shechiyano. And that is indeed the meaning. We hear Shechiyano from the person making Kiddush, and then when we have the whole fruit, we make Shechiyano when it's on the fruit ourselves. First night in benching, we say that saying Yal V'Yavay. First day that saying Yal V'Yavay. And the second day, it's only Yal V'Yavay. Yal V'Yavay has a different halacha, the night of Rosh Hashanah and the day of Rosh Hashanah. It's not the same halacha. If a person forgets Yal V'Yavay in benching, by night, you have to bench over again. Depends where you remember. If you remember before you say Hashem's name, you can always go back and say Yal V'Yavay. If you finish a bracha, there's a special bracha that you're supposed to say, which is printed in the siddur, in the bencher. But if you already start the next bracha, the bracha of Atayva Meiti, you said but even just the word baruch, so if it's night of Rosh Hashanah, you have to go back and bench again, and start again from the beginning of benching. By day Rosh Hashanah, you don't go back for Yal V'Yavay. And the reason is because there are opinions in Rishonim that you're supposed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, you're not supposed to eat on Rosh Hashanah. So we can't go back on Yal V'Yavay if maybe he didn't have to say Yal V'Yavay, he didn't even have to eat, according to some opinions. And we take into account that opinion that we're not going to go bench again if we miss that Yal V'Yavay. That only applies to the day. By night, certainly you have to eat. Even those postmen say you're supposed to, they light a fast, you're supposed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, they don't say that about the night. So by night you go back on Yal V'Yavay. and by day you don't go back. See, we also have Ritzei as part of benching, and that makes it interesting, because even though by night, by day of Rosh Hashanah, there's a difference between that, yeah, we wouldn't go back for Yalvi Yavad, but for Ritzei you would go back. So if a person forgets Ritzei, he will go back, but if he forgets Yalvi Yavad, he won't go back. And if he forgets both and he goes back, he says, of course he says Ritzei and Yalvi Yavad. It's brought down in Halacha that one is not supposed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. And if a person sleeps, it says his mazel is asleep, v'chulu. But a lot of people take that to mean that you shouldn't sleep in the afternoon of Rosh Hashanah, when in the afternoon of Rosh Hashanah is not so bad to sleep, because it says after tkiyus, after davening, it's already, it's more lenient to sleep. Really, day means before midday, before davening is over. So ideally, although a lot of people are not makbid about this, but ideally it's brought down to some sudden, a person should wake up early in Rosh Hashanah before it becomes day, before Leis HaShachar. And a lot of people are very makbid about that. There's room to justify those who don't wake up early because they're not going to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. They're just still sleeping. But we shouldn't rely on that. Anyhow, Rosh Hashanah is one of those days of Hashkam, and the special days you're supposed to wake up early. Rosh Hashanah is a day that we really don't want to be stuck in bed sleeping. It's a day that we're preparing for such a special holy day. So we should wake up as early as we can. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch every day. The very first beginning of Shulchan Aruch, it says a person should wake up before Leis HaShachar. That's the very first sikh in Shulchan Aruch. Nowadays, we're not particular about that. Somebody was very makwid about this halacha. They asked him, why are you so particular about this halacha? So he said, when you get tested and you fail the very first question, that's not good news. Now they're going to test me on my behavior. They're going to start with the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. The very first sikh is, wake up early before Leis HaShachar. I fail that sikh, I'm terrible. So he was very particular about this. So there's explanations why nowadays we're not particular about that. Nowadays, like we said, we have electricity, we go to sleep late, we wake up late. There's explanations that we don't wake up too late, as long as we wake up, relatively speaking, early. The Friedrich Rebbe once spoke about the importance of waking up before 7 o'clock a.m. He said very sharp language about chassidim who wake up past 7 in the morning. He even said something to the effect that I consider my chassidim, they're out of the club. So, about waking up late, and it's after 7 in the morning. But this is all about the rest of the year. But if this is Siddin Shulchan Aruch like that, at least Rosh Hashanah, the very first day of the year, we should really wake up as early as we can and preferably before Leis HaShachar. Before davening, so before tkiyas, generally we don't eat. This year, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, there's no tkiyas. For those who have to eat because they can't have kavanah and davening, if they're hungry and thirsty and it's going to affect their kavanah and davening, they're allowed to eat throughout the year, like it says in Halacha. And with the Rabbein, we're very machmir about that. People shouldn't be machmir in this halacha. That since according to halacha, if somebody is hungry or thirsty and it affects his kavana, he's allowed to eat. If not, you don't just eat before davening, but if it affects your kavana. So the first day of Rosh Hashanah, when there's no tkiyas shofar, it's the same as the rest of the year. The shofar, we don't move around on Rosh Hashanah. That on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, it's like every other Shabbos. You're not supposed to move the shofar. It's muktzah. Some place can say that in our generation, when people don't use shofars to anything else, it's not stam klisha malachta l'isir. It's an extreme level of muktzah. Muktzah machmas chesarek, because you shouldn't move it at all, even if you need the place. But there's still an option. You could always move it begufa. You could pick it up like this with your elbows. You could push it like that if the shofar is laying around. Why don't we blow shofar on Shabbos? Al pi nigla, shofar is a shvus, uvdun d'chol. Shofar hasn't it a problem that it's a weekday activity. Every Rosh Hashanah, of course we do it. Chazal didn't put their rule of Uvn D'chol not to do weekday activities, which is those halachas that we're learning right now, Rambam 3 Perakim a day, in the place of the mitzvah say of Rosh Hashanah. But when it, of Tkiyah Shofar, but when it comes, falls on Shabbos, in addition to the idea of Uvn D'chol, of the weekday activities, a concern that some people might end up carrying their Shofar in the Shusar Avim, and carrying is a very serious problem to carry on Shabbos. Chazal stopped a lot of rules to prevent people from carrying on Shabbos. And if they made a rule, they cut out the mitzvah of shofar in the Torah, which they're allowed to do that, because it doesn't say the Torah befedish if it falls out of Shabbos. If it would say the Torah befedish the words if it falls out of Shabbos, they wouldn't change the rule, like the Taz explains. But Chacham could tell you not to do a rule. Sheva al Tasa, they tell you to refrain from doing something, even if it's a Torah rule, they have a koyach to do that, in order to prevent that people should carry on Shabbos. Like the Rebbe explains, that this is what it says in Chassidus, that Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, we have the Tkiyah Shofar by itself. The Shabbos itself gives us the power of Kishav is because there's nothing in the world that could stop something which is a shleimus of a yid. And if the Eibush has set up a calendar system where, because of this calendar system and because of human weakness, there's a concern about blowing shofar, and therefore we can't blow shofar on Shabbos, the cam, since the entire world was created for Eden and the calendar was created for Eden and human condition was created for Eden, must be that it can't be anything which will be a chesaron by Eden. Obviously, we can't be missing out the Maila of Shofar. We obviously have the Maila of Shofar. Shabbos itself accomplishes what Shofar accomplishes. And there's many explanations about the Sechsidus. I encourage people to learn the Ma'amar about Rosh Hashanah Chalitz B'Shabbos, particularly for this year. There's one fascinating Sikh of the Rebbe, Shabbos Parshas Nitzavim Tavshim Mem Tes, and it's also Michtav Klali, a pastoral letter that the Rebbe wrote to Klal Yisrael, that the idea of Shofar is bittel, and there's two types of bittel. One of which we blow Shofar to crown the king, and a higher form of bittel is that we don't even blow Shofar, because if we're blowing Shofar, we're doing an act of bittel. There's someone that's having bittel to the king. Not doing anything is the total bittel, we don't even blow Shofar. That's a much higher level of bittel. Of course, even higher level of that is the Beis Hamikdash, where you blow Shofar even on Shabbos. That's even a higher medrash, and Mitzvah will have it this year too. I'll mention some of the halachas of Shofar for the second day. The Baal Takeh is supposed to learn the halachas of Kiyas Shofar. There's a special maimer that says you should learn to understand the kavanas of Kiyas. The maimer, some Machzayim have it printed there, otherwise it's printed in the Siddur called Siddurim Dach. And even someone who's going in with Tzayim and blowing Shofar should also learn the maimer, and in addition to the much more important topic, which is to learn the halachas of Kiyas Shofar. There's a lot of halachas about Kiyas Shofar. The halachas at Shvarim Trua. There's two opinions, but in Tkiyas the Miyushar, the main, the primary Tkiyas, we do Shvarim through it in one breath, but Alter Rebbe says we should do make a small break, that it should be obvious what's the Shvarim and what's the Truah. And we blow a minimum of what we call 30 Koilas, Tkiyas Shvarim Truah Tkiyah three times, Tkiyas Shvarim Tkiyah three times, and Tkiyah Truah Tkiyah three times. Some people have difficulty with that, but we can't get less than that, because that's the bare minimum, 30 Koilas. Now, if somebody has no choice, they're not going to let him blow 30 koilas, okay, so blow only the 10 koilas, tashrat, tashrat, tarat, and don't make a brach on it. But really, you should really be blowing the 30 koilas. We don't need to blow, if a person is davening b'yichidus or miftsoim or whatever it is, you don't need to blow more than 30, but because it's an inyan to have 100 koilas, during musaf, we don't blow shofar for davening b'yichidus, unlike in shul. But if somebody wants to, after davening, to finish up the 70, another 70 koilas, to have the full 100 koilas, he can do that. He could also count all the shofar that he does during Miftzayim. If you're blowing shofar b'yichidus, l'chadchili you should wait until after Sovis Man Krishma. You're not supposed to blow shofar b'yichidus the Shoshana morning, because that's not a time which is a favorable time for blowing shofar if you're not with a minion. That shouldn't override Miftzayim. If you ever know somebody that's going to miss out shofar because of that, you should blow even during those hours. If a bachar is going on Miftzay shofar, it's important to make sure that he's already considered a gadol, that he can be mighty other people with shofar, which means even if he's 13, he might not necessarily have the signs of maturity to be a god. They have two pubic hairs, jaysitis, and therefore it's important to make sure we have dafka, a gadol, someone who's, if he has a full beard, he definitely qualifies. And even on the second day, ideally, one should be machmer as well. If someone is blowing shofar for a woman, then he shouldn't make a bracha. A woman and not mechuyev in shofar. The woman can make a bracha herself, but you should make a bracha for a woman if you're blowing for her, or for that matter, if you're blowing for anybody who knows how to make a bracha himself, and you're ready, and you are yoytzer ready, you should make a bracha for them. If you're being yoytzer now, of course you can make the bracha. A shofar that's cracked, there's a bunch of halachas about a cracked shofar. I'm not going to go through all the halachas, but what I will mention is that a small chip in a shofar, a chip which is not through and through, so in other words, a shofar could have a crack which goes through and through, so you see the crack on one side and on the other side. But if you sometimes there's a chip that is only on the outside, but if you look inside the shofar, you don't see the crack there, that doesn't qualify as a crack or as a hole, you don't have to worry about that at all. This year, Rosh Hashanah will be falling on a Shabbos. First day, Rosh Hashanah, we say Anis Velasi during Mincha. The purpose of Anis Velasi is when a person eats and drinks, we turn to Hashem and we tell him that our eating and drinking should be favorable, unlike the guy where they eat and drink. They do other things. We come to shul still, therefore the Hashem is Ratzon, and since we eat and drink on Rosh Hashanah too, especially if it falls on a Shabbos, we say Anis Velasi, but we don't say Tzitkascha. The reason we don't say Tzitkascha is because in Tzitkascha that we say Shabbos Mincha has the words Mishpatecha Tahim Rabba, Hashem's judgment. We don't want to talk about judgment on the Yom HaDin. And it's Rosh Chodesh. We never say Tzitkascha on Rosh Chodesh. On the second night in davening, we add the special tefillah of Atoy Dienu. It's very important that the second night we have to make Havdalah. No melacha should be done preparing for the second night until the Zman, and until you said Baruch HaMavdol Ben Kodesh LeKodesh, or you daven Ma'ir when you said the words of Atoy Dienu, which is like Atachon Yom Tov. Tashlich is not done on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. it's pushed off. Now, originally, the Altareb does not write this anywhere. And if you look in the Mekubalim, they also tell us that Tashach should be done in Rosh Hashanah, it shouldn't be pushed off. But nonetheless, the meaning became that when Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, he pushed off Tashach. The Rebbe once spoke at length about this, and he said that this meaning became only in the later generations when they actually saw that people are being nichshol and they're carrying machzorim and sidurim on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So, therefore, even though we're not allowed to make our own new gzeiris, the Rebbe said we can make gzeiris for something that might happen. But when we saw an actual takala that people are carrying on Shabbos, they pushed off tachnun to prevent chas v'shalom the chilul Shabbos that people are carrying on Shabbos. They pushed it off tashlach not tachnun to the second day. And even though it's supposed to be on the first day, because it's done al pi Torah, that the Rebbeim arranges al pi Torah and they pushed it off to the second day. Like I said, the Rebbe doesn't say to do it like that. But because it was done that way, then al pi Torah we accomplish on the second day the same thing we were supposed to accomplish on the first day. Now Tashlich is said, so like I said, this year on the second day, it's said before Shkia. Before sunset, we say Yudgimu Midas Rachmim, which we're never supposed to say midnight altogether. And the Chalal is Eisratzim to be done after done by day. If a person missed it, it's after Shkia, you should say Tachim midnight also. If a person missed the Shoshanah altogether, and he can't say Tashlich, or he missed say Tashlich, you can say it after the Shoshanah, and say Smei Tshuva. And there's a minig specifically, some places, Chathila, they had the minig that way, that if a person is not saying Tashlich or Shoshanah, he should say it on the day called Yoim Yud Gimel Midas. There's one day those who say Slichas Aseres Mei Shuvah. There's one day that they say a special Slichas Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Lachana. It's a Slichas that we say by Ne'ilah. And on that day, the meaning is the same Tashlich, which is Ches Tishrei. Normally, this year Ches Tishrei is on Shabbos, so therefore we would, if those who didn't say the Shana, will say Tashlich on Thursday Vav Tishrei. The Rebbe Tzachana Ziyot said the Friedrich Rebbe couldn't say Tashlich on Shana 1 year, so he said it Erev Rosh Hashanah. Masa Rosh Hashanah, and he said it a third time on Yom Yud Gimel Midas on Ches Tishrei. Tashlich it said is supposed to be done out of the city. Nowadays we don't do that. We don't do it out of the city, but we go out of our comfort zone at least. We go out of where we are. We go to, they specially prepared for the, dug up for the Rebbe well to do it in the Chatzar of 770. But it should be done in a way of tzniyas. The main thing of Tashlich is not just to say the words, to throw away our Averis. And certainly during Tashlich, we don't want to get new Averis. And often my Tashlich becomes a whole hangout from the pressure, the stress of the day. Tashlich doesn't, and this is on the second day, it's even harder, the time to let loose. It shouldn't be used up to Dvarim B'Telem, Chazal Shalom, for Moshe Leitzim, how careful we have to be on Rosh Hashanah. And the Poskim specifically say that women should not go say Tashlich in a place where there are men. That's Hepech Hatznias. And out of all days, certainly we don't want to have this in Rosh Hashanah. So either a special place for Tashlich should be made for women if we want to say Tashlich. Or they could come say Tashlich in the place where men say Tashlich in different hours, but it certainly shouldn't be there in times when men are there. I'll mention, I'll just look quickly at some questions over here. I'll quickly go through some questions if we cover which questions we covered and didn't. I got some questions here in the chat. Do women need to go to Slichas at 1 a.m.? No, they don't have to go to Slichas. If they want, they can go to Slichas. Why do women not do Hataras Nadarim and Rosh Hashanah? There's a number of explanations why women don't do Hataras Nadarim. Some people ask their husbands to do it for them. One of the reasons is not to create Kalas Rosh B'Nadarim. And since it's more common that women make Nadarim, at least that wasn't in those days, therefore they didn't want to arrange this Hataras Nadarim, which will make them treat lightly the whole idea of Nadarim. Any other questions here? L'chaim with Vodka. I'm trying to understand that question. That's what we were talking about that. Yeah, one question was here about clothing for Shechianu. Nowadays, we don't make Shechianu on clothing. That's correct, because nowadays, we don't have that same chashivas for new clothing. The meaning is we don't normally make Shechianu for clothing unless it's a real expensive fur coat or something like that. But nonetheless, if a person has a reason to make Shechianu anyhow, we could rely on making a new garment Shechianu, like a Niyama Ledis that ever says to use a new garment. Berchas HaChami, use a new garment. So we do rely on a new garment in a case where there's a reason to make Shechianu anyhow. But Stamas over here, get a new garment. We don't normally make Shechianu. What else was there? If you say Shechianu at Lichbenshin, and you had in mind a new fruit, you say Shechianu again, we eat a new fruit by the Suda. That was a question that was asked. No, you don't say Shechianu again because you had in mind a new fruit. Why is the first 3 hours of the day not a favorable time to blow Shofar B'Yechidus? Question that was asked over here. The answer is because it says Hashem during the first 3 hours of the day, he's Oisik B'din. Afterwards is a time of Chesed for Hashem. So during the time when Hashem is Oisik and Din, then it's not a good time to blow Shofar because we want to do only in the time when it's a time of Chesed. How are they going to blow Shofar with masks? Beats me. how they blow shofar with masks. I guess it's no different than during eating, you're allowed to take off your mask. So someone told me he had to travel on a plane and he couldn't get his kids to wear a mask. So he bought them food and they ate an entire ride, and during when they're eating, they don't have to wear a mask. So I'm not here to suggest that people should circumvent the laws, but I guess during the moment of shofar, it's okay. The people wearing masks, the only problem is for the Baal Takeah. And I guess you could be socially distant. Someone asked me, another question I was asked about Ma'ida Eish on the second night. So our minig is like this. We make Ma'ida Eish over the candle that we benched for Yom Tov. The Yom Tov licht, we say Ma'ida Eish on those candles. We don't put the candles together. We don't look at our nails. We just say Ma'ida Eish on that. And we don't say Besamim on Yom Tov. The Simchas Yom Tov does the same job as the Besam, although we're very upset that our Neshami Yisrael disappeared on Shabbos. But now we have Simchas Yom Tov that calms us down. We don't need the Besamim. Can you blow? I'll quickly take this question. We can't do too many questions here. Can you blow for someone else on Mitzrayim before you are Yotza? Yes, you can either be Yotza with the person that you're blowing on Mitzrayim, or you can have a mind not to be Yotza. What other question here? If I got my mezuzah checked, okay, that's a private question. You'll have to ask it over by your question. The rimayin, I thought I touched on this. The rimayin, we make a shechiyano the rimayin, but we don't have to have it right after kiddush. We can have it later during the meal. The shechiyano covers the rimayin later. And someone just wrote to me, we heard a comment that the Rebbe put on a new silk scarf for the Beged Chadash on the second day. That's correct. Someone just wrote a comment on the chat that the Rebbe on Rosh Hashanah and Beit Kiyas, the Derech Klal, the Rebbe had a silk scarf, a thin scarf, and not even a scarf, more like a cloth, and that's what the Rebbe used for his shechiyano for the new garment. I'll just mention one more thing. The Peskim tell us that it's very important on mechalal, never to get angry, because anger is mo'er dinim. The Zohar says when a person gets angry, he loses his neshama and switch for a neshama of the sitra achra, klippa. The Rebbe brings the Zohar in a couple of letters where he tells people that shalom bayis, the importance of chas shalom being machlif in neshama with koiches of tumah. It's even more important when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. We have a lot of halachas that we have to do. We go home, the Ben Ishchai arrives, somebody comes to the meal, and he sees the meal, the table is not set up. The Balabasa Shtaka set up the table before Yom Tov, so the husband comes home, the table will be set. So he comes home, the table is not set, and he's going to get angry, he defeats the entire purpose. But in these times, it's very important, and now there's a lot of stress going on. There's issues of COVID, there's other issues of stress. Much more important than a lot of these things that we were saying, some of these things, at least I should say, is the idea of having a tranquil, calm, relaxed environment. And if a person has a hard time with that, it's a good idea to just walk away and calm down and relax and not bring chas v'shalom anger into the house. We want to bring about gula mitzvah shleim. Gula mitzvah shleim comes through Avos Yisrael. The Rebbe says that the nesoyin of our generation is the Indian of Avos Yisrael. And I didn't imagine that when I was talking about the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, that I have to specify that it means in your own house you should have Avos Yisrael. And this is what's really negayef ikus to the Meshicha, dafke for gula mitzvah shleim. We need to encourage Avos Yisrael within our own families, with other people. And David Shalom should be zeich to the gula mitzvah shleim and hear the shofar gadol, the melech ha-Mashiach, the ultimate shofar, v'hoye b'yoyim ahu yitakav b'shofar gadol, and we'll be zeich to zemet the Rebbe, v'hu yugaleinu take from Yad Mamash, v'naksir v'chsim v'tev v'lashana tev v'suka, v'chol ha-Mashiach.